Well, it's been too long. We catch up with a friend of the program, a guy we love talking to. He is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Brad Treliving joins us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. How are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well,
good.
Upright and employed, so that's half the battle. Well, you take it. Brad, keep using the word checks a lot of boxes. Tell me the thinking and the thought process behind signing Matt Bartkowski to a PTO.
Well, a couple things. We're just, you know, we're going to take a look at Matt. He's a player we're familiar with. He's, you know, played in Vancouver last year. Prior to that, was in Boston. And so we continue to look at some depth at that position. He's been playing in Providence in the American Hockey League this year. So it's sort of twofold, guys. I mean, right now, there's no commitment with them. We're going to sit down and see if anything here makes sense. Number one, it's a depth player that has played in the league, and hopefully if something was to work out, he provides some depth at the position. And number two is, if structured the right way, it may, and I say this because we're not at a stage where we've contracted, is it may check a box in terms of our expansion. A lot of gets talked about expansion with Vegas in terms of the players that you're able to protect and the different types of seedings, whether you're 7-3-1, 4-8 skaters and a goaltender. But the other part of this is you have to make certain players available that have met criteria. Obviously, of your protected list, everybody else is available. You'll lose one player, but you do have to have certain players that have had experience to a certain games played level in the league at positions, and also be under contract for the 17-18 season. So that. And you've seen, they've quietly happened around the league. You've seen these signings take place. Sometimes they're not getting a lot of fanfare, but you want to make sure that that part of the business is taken care of. So, you know, that's really the thought process, quite frankly, behind it, is we currently aren't in a position where our defense slot is open or has been. We have a player signed that would fit the criteria to make available. There may be other options. They may come at a price, whether it be dollar figure price, asset, to obtain price. So those are some of the things when you talk about the why behind bringing in Matt. That's a little bit of backstory on it. And I don't want to just necessarily bring it up as expansion fodder. Again, it's hard to find. You know, we've got a lot of young defensemen playing in Stockton right now, young players who we think there's some upside. But you also want to be in a position where, you know, they're playing at the right level and getting the right experience and going through the right progression chart. And so if there's a way to add some depth, we may look at doing that.
Just a couple on this, Brad. One is just, and it's more a point of clarification, could you have not just signed Keith Ollie, who's playing in Stockton, to a two-way deal and achieved the same thing, or would the games played worked out there?
You know what? You cut out on me there, Robin.
Sorry about that. I'm just a point of clarification more than anything. I know they're not the same player, but could you have just signed Keith Ollie to a two-way deal and made him available? Would that have worked too, or is this? I know he, you know, Bartkowski could play for you, but I'm just wondering if you could have achieved the same thing by signing Ollie.
Well, in that particular case, using Keith Ollie, he's playing on an American League deal for us in Stockton. He wouldn't qualify in terms of the games played criteria.
Okay. Right.
So what that is for forwards and defensemen, it's really two criteria. You either have to have played in 40 games of this season, so the 16-17 season, or 70 combined games between last year and this year NHL games. And criteria number two is be under contract for the first year of Las Vegas, which would be 17-18. So you have to be contracted and meet the games played criteria. For goaltenders, it's a little bit different. You have to have played, it's not necessarily games played, but number of years pro. And then either be under contract for the following season or for the 17-18 season, or be a restricted free agent who has received a qualifying offer. So that there is certainty, contractual certainty, in terms of, you know, those players being available to be selected, and then the you know, the Vegas team knowing some contracted certainty. It gets a little bit on the goaltender side. If they have arbitration rights, there's only allowed a certain number of guys who have arbitration rights, and so on and so forth. But that gives you a little bit of lay of the land in terms of that number of games. So if you look at Keith Ollie, and I don't have his numbers in front of me, but he wouldn't fit that in, in the 15, 16, 16, 17 games played, NHL games played.
And I imagine that it's safe to say that the timing of this is not accidental or anything like that, or is it? I'm assuming that, you know, there's probably some cap consideration. I mean, you have not signed him to a two-way deal, so I shouldn't get ahead of myself. Maybe just let me ask it this way. The timing of this, is that significant at all?
Well, the timing is such that, again, you look at it, you know, you see a lot of depth moves around the deadline at certain times. We've talked throughout the year about the expansion draft adding another layer to things. Yeah. I think, you know, there's been some recent moves, some recent signings that I would attribute to expansion, similar to what we're talking about here. The timing a little bit is, as you get closer to the deadline, in a lot of ways it's the last time that you can make deals. You're free to sign players in certain situations, but in terms of the trade market. So that's creeping upon us. And again, if you can, ultimately you're always looking at ways to improve your team. If you can do that at a cost, A, that makes sense, and again, at an acquisition cost that makes sense, then those things all play into consideration. So, you know, as we sit here this minute, it's something that we said, okay, there's a player who's, you know, we know what Matt is, and I don't want to, you know, he's you know, he had played in Boston, played in Vancouver. We think he can add some depth potentially. There's a little familiarity, obviously, with Glenn last year in Vancouver, but our scouts have watched this guy for a long time. And then again, when you factor in some of the business that you have to do, just a little bit outside of just the roster, but making sure you're compliant come June, those are considerations.
Brad Treliving is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. He joins us down the South Street Burger guest hotline here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Pat?
Brad, and I know that you haven't signed him yet, but we're 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, and I believe if you sign after the deadline, you're not eligible to play in NHL postseason hockey. Would that kind, how much would that potential deadline factor into a decision on signing Bartkowski?
Well, I think it does. I mean, you know, our focus right now, guys, is we've got 25 games to go here, and it's a push to get into the top eight. You know, that's our goal. We've had some ups and downs along the way, but we're in a position still where our goal is to get into the playoffs. So if you look at it from that standpoint, you always need depth. It's hard a little bit, Pat, to talk specifically about this player again, because, you know, we haven't reached a conclusion here. But from a hypothetical standpoint, by no means, and again, this isn't disparaging Matt. We like the young man. He's played in the league. We're not advocating that Matt Barkowski is going to come in and save the Calgary Flames. But if we're able to push ourselves into a playoff spot, you know, 25 games in a compacted schedule that we have left, you know, touch wood, right now we've been relatively healthy on our blue line, and so it's another consideration. If we're able to, you know, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about the deadline, but if you're able to add depth at certain positions of guys that have played in the league, you know, that's never a bad thing. And like I said, there's a there's another piece of business here when we talk about expansion that plays into it. But you know, if we do our jobs here and are able to push into a position in the playoffs, and you need players, and you like I said, you get into a situation where you've run into injuries. We've got young defensemen in Stockton right now, and at some point, there's some players there that may be ready for an opportunity here right now. We look at this as if we're able to get something done, or we choose to get something done, that this may, apart from everything else, may provide a little bit of depth and a little bit of insurance at what we would consider a relatively inexpensive cost.
How would you evaluate the depth on your blue line, kind of the 4, 5, 6, 7 spots on your blue line this year?
Well, I think we've been, you know, public that, you know, that's an area that we'd like to continue to improve upon. I think, you know, you look at how our top three, if you will, in Giordano, Brody and Hamilton, you know, I think they're solid players. You know, I bring up Matt's name again. You look at our third pairing, I think Derek England's had an excellent year. Jyrki Jokapaka, again, there's been some ups and downs. And Brett Kulak is, to me, still a young developing player. I think he, in a lot of ways, he's been ahead of schedule. If a Matt Berkowski, if something happens there, potentially could he give you his assets or his skating ability, his ability to move the puck? Can he give you some depth in a third pair? Dennis Weidman, and I know there's lots of criticism on Dennis that he faces. You know, Dennis is giving us all he's got. You know, his contract's expiring. And as we look forward to next year, it's an area as that top four continues to evolve that you'd like to improve upon. But it's really difficult to, you know, we saw that we paid a price for Dougie Hamilton. To find young top four defensemen in this league, in a lot of ways, you either got to draft them or you got to be prepared to have the assets to pay to get them. So I think our defense as a whole has been a little bit like our teams. There's been times of excellence, and there's been times that they need to be better. So is it an area we'd like to continue to improve upon? Sure it is. But the reality is it something that we're going to be able to address prior to the deadline? We continue to look at it, see what the prices are. Is it something probably more realistically you're looking into the summer and the off season? Probably more so, but that's where you have to continue to try to again add depth and hopefully have enough bodies that if you do have injuries that you can withstand them.
Brad, you know, knowing the trade deadline is 2 weeks away, and you know we've already talked about potential expansion draft implications with Matt Bartkowski if he were to be signed. How much will the pending expansion draft, do you believe, impact, good, bad, or indifferent, what we see on March 1st this year?
Well, there'll be moves. There always is. Each team's a little bit differently. I guess the general statement I'd make, Pat, is it's going to have an impact. To what extent, and I've used this example many times, people may, depending on where they are, we've modeled out each team and where we assume or project their, you know, what the different looks would be. So if they're protecting 8-1, if they're protecting 7-3-1, who does that shake free? You know, you've got no trade clauses that play a part into that. Who do they have to protect? Who could waive? So on and so forth. So we do that modeling and we do that on a regular basis. So that's where I think it may be, there might be some stickiness in the market is if you are a team that's looking for a defenseman per se, and you've got three guys today that you would project that you're going to expose, and to add that fourth defenseman is going to cost you the assets of X, how does that, are you prepared to say, you know what, We'll figure that out and deal with it at a later time. We're prepared to lose that player come expansion and the assets that we gave up to acquire him. Or do you look at that and say, you know, we'll do something else prior to the expansion? So I don't think it's going to halt the market, but it is. It's, I can tell you, in each one of the discussions that you have with every manager and you talk about certain situations, they know our situation no different than we know theirs and how it would impact. So time will tell, ultimately, of what it does to the market, but it creates some stickiness, and but I still think you'll see deals made. And the fact that, as you mentioned, the fact that you may put yourself in a situation come the deadline where now, you know, you may have to, or you're in a position where if nothing else changes, you're going to expose a player you may not want to, then you still have time prior to the expansion draft to see if there's something that will affect you. But it's probably a long-winded answer of saying I think it's going to have some impact.
That being said, 2 weeks out, as much as you can tell us, what is your philosophy and your kind of mindset heading into this year's trade deadline?
Well, you know, we're in that place where you'd always like to be going into a deadline ahead, you know, solidly in, quite frankly, and with a clear path of seeing of how you can help your team. You know, in all your preparations, you look at all the different scenarios. As I said earlier, our mindset right now is doing everything we can on and off the ice to give ourselves a chance to get in. So, you know, you gauge the market accordingly. It's been interesting this year in the sense that, you know, I think you probably would only say today there's probably two teams that are, you know, have been for some time sellers in the market, if we want to call them sellers. As we get closer to the deadline, you know, the games will be played and the standings will dictate what teams will do. I always look at it as a team that's, you know, around the playoff mix here right now. Can we help ourselves to get in? Is there moves that we can make that help us that don't severely impact us moving forward, that don't, you know, that we're not sitting here and sending top young players and first-round picks out the door? I don't really have an appetite for that at all, and that's not going to occur. But is there ways that we can help us and potentially help us not beyond this year? That is there holes that we have, and you project what the market may look like in the summer? Is there people that you can bring in that help you beyond this year? Those are difficult deals to make, but that's sort of where our mindset is today, is how can we help ourselves, give us a little push here going down the stretch, what is available? And the difficulty that there is right now, guys, is there's a lot of teams in similar positions. So there's a lot of teams that are almost going down parallel paths. If we can stay around it or have a good week, you know, we may be going down one path. If we don't, maybe we're going down another path. So ideally, and we've said this in the past, if you could get out ahead of it, that's sometimes the best situation. But the market, you haven't really seen, you know, there's been some minor deals, but you haven't seen a market set. And right now there's a lot of people that are sort of kicking around ideas and nothing really ready to go yet. So that's sort of our mindset right now. Can we help ourselves without a long-term impact? Is there something that can help us beyond that year? And the rental market, as it continues to materialize, is there things in there at the right price that could help us? Now, having said all that, you do take your cue off your team. And as much as, you know, the off-ice work, you have to be prepared and you have to do the work, we have to do the job on the ice to put ourselves in a position where you know, come the deadline or before, we're in a better spot than we are today.
He's Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Two for me to wrap up here, Brad, both more to do with on the ice. I've been struck a couple of times by your coach and his comments after some of the tough losses here recently. They remind me a lot of what I've heard from previous coaches and previous regimes here. How frustrated are you with the wild inconsistencies that your team has shown? Pretty much, I mean, it just seems to me like it's something that happens every year, and that might be an NHL thing, but boy, oh boy, Montreal-Toronto games weren't great, but your club looked like world beaters on that road trip, and then coming off the break, another wild swing. How do you, what's your perspective on that?
Well, it causes lots of hair loss and sleepless nights. We've got theories. I mean, at the end of the day, we need to have results at this time of the year.
Yeah.
But it has, and I'm always, frustration to me, I know that's a commonly used, it's frustration just doesn't get you anywhere. You try to dig in and find out the reasons why. And, you know, we've looked great at some moments, and we've looked obviously a lot less great at other moments. And you go back to the picture we paint when we play well, and it's, you know, it starts in our net, as it does with all teams. And ability to play a certain way for a long stretch of time, regardless if it's, you know, the one area that we really, you know, with still young players and developing players that you have to get comfortable in, especially this type of year, or this time of year, is when there's not lots going on in the game. You know, you have to be comfortable in 1-0, 1-1 games and close games and do things right to allow you to, it's not always just rattling off 10 in a row. It's finding ways to try to pick up points on a regular basis. And that's been the issue that causes concern, is there's been wild swings where our game is tight and we're not giving up a lot, and we stay with it and we find a way to generate enough offense. And then there's other times where we get away from that, and we want to make a Picasso in each shift, and it ends up biting us. So it is those inconsistencies that we've got to continue to smooth out. And ultimately, at this time of the year, this is when you need leadership. You need your top players to be top players. And you need, in our particular case, you need an imprint in the game from everyone. You know, we are not a team that's going to rely on one or two people. We need, when we play well, it's, you know, there's some teams you could say, you know what, they weren't great, but they're,
mm-hmm.
one or two guys led them. When we play well, usually you can say, you know what, there's contributions across the board, and we need to have that. And these are times when you really learn about your group. You know, there's lots of hockey to be played, but with each night there's less hockey to be played, and we've got to make up some ground here and get playing that consistent game. I don't, you know, it'd be great to rattle off a bunch, but if we can play the way we're capable of playing for long stretches of time, I'm comfortable that we're going to get all the points that we need to get, but we obviously need to find that game consistently and find it quick.
My last question for you, and I don't want to answer it, and I guess I will in kind of the build-up. Remember when the signing of Johnny Gaudreau happened at the beginning of the year, you said it's not about coming in and earning the new contract, just keep doing what you're doing. This has been kind of a wonky year for him. World Cup, All-Star game, but incredible stretches, and most recently the game against Arizona, which he found himself on a different line. Your thoughts on Johnny Gaudreau's season?
Well, I think he'd be the first one to tell you there's been, from an offensive standpoint, obviously this is his third year in the league, and probably you just look at the statistics, it's probably been his most difficult year to date. And you come back to it of the whys. And I think, Johnny, because of what he did in his first 2 years in the league, and really what he did at the World Cup, you know, there was, you came out of that World Cup with that North American team, and I think Johnny established him as one of the top young players on that team. And so now he's put himself in an echelon where he's a focal point. When you play Calgary, you know, we got to find a way to take away his time and space and be hard on him and do the things that are not going to let him to create. And what we have to do is continue to help him, find ways, because, you know, one of the things we've talked about, if you look back in Johnny's career, this is probably, you know, as he goes through a little bit of a point, you know, in terms of points and goals and production, this is probably one of the longest dry spells that he's probably ever had in his career. So when you don't have those experiences to draw back on, you know, you kind of wonder what's happening. So that's what the focus is for us, and what we've tried to do with all our players, and not just Johnny, is, you know, and again, it's a motherhood statement and a cliche statement. You can peel away the first 60 some odd games here, and, you know, you create a new stat line starting tonight, and you peel that one away, you know, it's 25 one-game segments here right now. And that's sort of that's what you have to build on and continue to, you know, build confidence. And confidence, to me, is earned. The more you do things right, the better you're going to feel, and ultimately the more success you're going to have. So I don't look at Johnny's situation. Listen, we want him to play well, and I know our fans want him to produce as we do and help us win, and that's what Johnny wants. But we've got to continue to help him find that roadmap and help create those things and help him be successful. And that's sort of an everyday process for us. And like a lot of those players, I know we had lots of talk in the Arizona game, and, you know, you got those guys that have, you know, I call them, those artists like to paint outside the lines, and that's what makes them special. And you got to give them that flexibility and that ability to do it, but it's also got to be, you know, at the right time and place. So I have great confidence in this young guy, and he's going through it. He's this will be an experience. He looks back at some point in his career and say, okay, I found a way out of struggles then. I'm going to find a way out of them now. And so we need, with him and all of our players, help them create a plan for them and ultimately have them push us down to the finish line and get over that line here come game 82.
Thanks, Brad. Always appreciate the time and certainly the information you shared with us today answered a lot of questions and freed up a lot of things. And just as we go, you're not changing your policy about publicly discussing negotiations or trade, who you're targeting. That hasn't changed. You're still.
Yeah, we'll. All right. We'll know by March 1st what we're doing.
All right. Okay. Just thought I'd check. You never know.
You never know.
Brad, as always. Yeah, you never know. It's no harm in asking, right? Like, really? All right. yeah, I know. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brad. As always, you're great with your time, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, gents. Take care.
Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. South Street Burger, home of the patties. Bring the family to one of four Calgary locations and enjoy a quality meal without worrying about a tip or an expensive tab. Visit southstreetburger.com for details.